Hi, Boss Lack. It's Good News Planet. I'm speaking to Dr. Ronald M. Kaplan. Hi, Dr. Kaplan. How are you?
Good to be with you again, Paul.
Always an honor and pleasure to speak with you. You're an obstetrician, a gynecologist, a medical author, and we've spoken with Dr. Kaplan in the past, always has wisdom to share with us. He has a new venture, or maybe it's not. He'll tell us about it, Care of the Older Person, and there's a website called careoftheolderperson.com. So tell us about it, Dr. Kaplan.
Thank you, Paul. The reason for this, what prompted this conversation, was that we've come out now with a new book. This is, I think, my seventh book. It's called The Care of the Older Person, and as you said, the website is www.careoftheolderperson.com. This is an e-book. We've gone modern. Now we do e-books. This book is edited and authored by a group of experts, mainly from the faculty of McGill University in Montreal, Canada, but with contributions from Europe and the United States. This book is an evolving book. We keep adding to it. The distinguished panel that put it together are all experts in their field. And basically what we did was, as we thought about this book, is we realized that in the United States alone, there are approximately right now 50 million elders, 65 and older, and that population is growing rapidly. We represent, I say we because I'm one of those guys, we represent 15% of the U.S. population, and of course the same phenomenon is seen worldwide. The problem, of course, is there is a specialty now called geriatrics and all kinds of offshoots of that specialty that take care of older people, but there's no way on God's earth that these 50 million people in the United States alone could be taken care of just by doctors. So the care filters through the entire medical community and way beyond. The first line of caregivers, of course, are family and friends. So we knew that we needed to get a resource out there to people so that they could figure out when they're taking care of these elders, what to do, what to look for, how to help them, and to know, importantly, when to get a hold of medical experts to take care of an individual's problem. The book has been quite well received so far. It's online. It's also available as a book, namely a soft cover, through all the usual outlets, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, etc. And it covers a multitude of topics which are growing, including forgetfulness, delirium, gait and balance disorders, malnutrition, incontinence, which is not a subject people like to discuss, but it's important. And we even talk about elder abuse because it's more common than people think. There is also something called polypharmacy. In other words, people are given drugs. And as one of my co-authors on this book said, it's easy to give a drug, but it takes years to get it discontinued. In other words, your prescriptions tend to pile up on you. You go to a doctor, the doctor gives you a drug, you go to another doctor, tell them about some other symptoms, and she gives you another drug, and over a number of years, you keep refilling this stuff, and before you know it, you're taking 4, 6, 8, 10 drugs every day. And the the definition of polypharmacy is anywhere from 4-plus or 6-plus drugs that you take every day. And the key to this thing, interestingly enough, is modern information systems. In other words, if we each had a physical history that was up to date and followed us wherever we went through medical systems, other caregivers, everybody who needs to know about your medications, your pharmacist, obviously, is centrally located on the cloud in your computer or someplace, so that when you show up at a new doctor, you don't have to sit there with this ream of papers that you usually get now when you go to a doctor's office and go through them and have to remember everything and put down everything that you're taking. People tend to be forgetful, especially older people, and that's a really bad way of transmitting a history. It's something like broken telephone. In any case, we cover all of these topics, and this is a growing list of topics to include the care of older people with cancer, other disease processes, and we even get into legal issues of how an older person should be protected and how to tell when an older person is no longer competent and what competency means. Basically, if you look at an older person objectively, you want to make sure that their memory is more or less intact, that their language skills are good, that their judgment, that's really important, that their judgment works. And there's whole industries that prey on older people and try to sell them stuff they don't need because they know their judgment is impaired to various degrees. So that's something that has to be watched. And the easiest way to tell if a person is with it is and oriented is to see if they know who they are, where they are, what day it is, what time it is, what month it is, what year it is. In other words, they have to be oriented as to time, place, and person. And you'd be surprised. You start to ask people, well, what's the day of the week? Well, if you're not working anymore for a long time, the days seem to meld together and the hours seem to meld together, and before you know it, you don't know if it's Monday or Tuesday or Saturday. And this can interfere with judgment calls. So we cover all of that. There are various simple ways for a doctor or other medical personnel to tell quickly whether a person is with it mentally. And one of the best known ones, interestingly enough, was made in Montreal, and it's called the Montreal Cognitive Assessment. Goes by the short name of MOCA, which is easy to remember, M-O-C-A. And this is a very simple test to give to somebody by a doctor, where basically it's like a maybe something like an intelligence test, but on a simple level, it shows you you have to with a pencil, go through a simple maze, draw various things like a cube or a clock, name some animals. There's a memory test. You're given a list of 5 words, and then you have to repeat it 5 minutes later. So what you do is you give the person this memory test of these 5 words, at the beginning of the test, and then you go through the rest of the test, and 5 minutes later you say, okay, tell me those words again, see if they can do it. You check their attention, and interestingly enough, one thing you could do is you ask them to count backwards, starting at 100, and you say, well, that's easy, but you ask them to count backwards by sevens. And I would be willing to bet that nobody listening to this has ever tried to count backwards from 100 by sevens. So it can get a little tricky. Interestingly enough, this was the test on his first physical. It was given to the President of the United States very famously. So the test now is very well known because of that. But if you do have a person who is not really sharp in their faculties anymore, and this happens to varying degrees to various people, they may need varying degrees of help. They have to be careful around the home. You know, you can't leave the gas on. Got to make sure they eat properly, that they do take their medications properly, that they're not doing polypharmacy, they're not taking too many drugs, that they dress appropriately when they go outside. When they go outside, they need to remember where they are and how to get back. These little things of daily life that we take totally for granted become quite serious for a lot of people who are older. And then you have to look for frailty. Inevitably, as we get old, no matter how wonderful we are, we all start to develop some signs of frailty. And frailty is like a moving target. Most doctors will tell you, oh, I know frailty when I see it, meaning there is not a clear-cut definition. But basically, what some aspects of it are weight loss, shrinking, weakness, loss of muscle strength, exhaustion, slowness. You know, I walk a lot, and I used to walk down the street. Nobody ever passed me. I used to pass everybody. Now people pass me, and I look at these people, and I say, my God, how is that person passing me? I got to be faster than that. And if you have a low level of physical activity, and this we get into, and we're going to get into more in future editions, because it is becoming so obvious, and it's almost self-evident, that you have to maintain a level of physical activity. If you sit around all day long, you're not going to be fit, and you're not going to be healthy, and you just need to do exercise. And aerobic exercise, obviously, is the best kind of exercise. You don't want to do anything that's too dangerous or that you haven't been doing your whole life. You don't take up skydiving when you're 93, unless you're the former president of the United States, who just passed away, and he was an Air Force hero when he was a kid, so skydiving to him was no problem. But most of us shouldn't take up skydiving when we're 93. If you walk, if you swim, those are the kinds of activities that are very, very good for you. If you could still run, God bless you, all the more power to you. But tends to be a more high-impact exercise. Cycling, stationary bike, all these things have their pluses and minuses, more pluses than minuses. I haven't even let you ask me a question, Paul.
I don't need to ask you a question, Dr. Kaplan, because you're all about positive, solid information. If I found that you were starting to, you know, waffle or waver, or
then you would have asked me a question.
Going on, I would have said, "Wait a second." The good news about Dr. Kaplan is he really does have a tremendous amount of information. He's taught me a real lot. With regard to science and care for an older person at this moment in my life. I turned 70 this year. I'm living every word that you're saying, actually. It's funny, this is like the story. You know, my sisters and her friends have a little pad by their bed where they write down, "Oh, this is aching me, that's aching me, I got to do this, I got to do that," right? So when their friends call each other, they can just go to the list because they don't want to forget all the things that are bugging them.
Yeah, well, you know, the information revolution has been a real boon to older people who subscribe to it because you don't really need a memory anymore. Remember when we used to walk around with lists of phone numbers in our memories so that you could call somebody and you had a big Rolodex?
Everything's
in your cell phone and you just click on a number, like I just called you. I mean, it's been a real boon to people, but then you got to remember where you put your phone.
Let me do ask you one question here, because actually, first of all, let me first tell everybody to go to this wonderful website, careoftheolderperson.com. It's beautifully structured. You have the opportunity to download a free excerpt, to buy the book on Amazon, an involvement here with McGill University, and a tremendous amount of information, crucial information, in fact, for those who care, provide, create, and build for our rapidly growing and cherished senior population. And the reality is that everyone has to go through this, pretty much so. If you're fortunate enough to have some friends or family, they're going through it as well as caregivers. You do have this comment where you were talking about, and it's stated here, we are living in an age of rapidly advancing technology. We're undergoing a revolution, communication, information, availability. I also agree, and then some more good thoughts here. You know, why don't we have, I just went through some surgery, why don't we have, say, in America, a national ability to, on the cloud, say, you know, Paul Slatkis has, here's his profile.
Well,
they do have it here. So I went to Mount Sinai Hospital, and they did have a good system for everything that I've ever done at Mount Sinai, and that's been my hospital. But nationally, if I went somewhere else, you know, oh boy.
Well, the big thing, Paul, is aside from cost, which we always seem to overcome one way or the other, in the end, it becomes much more efficient. So it probably pays for itself in spades. But on top of that, the big bugaboo is privacy concerns. So if you have to ensure each individual's absolute privacy of their medical information, unless they specifically want it released to a specific person, that even within your system, say at Mount Sinai, unless you've signed a blanket agreement saying any doctor in Mount Sinai who's on this system can access this system, they have to honor your wishes. You can't just give out somebody's private medical information. So the privacy concerns become the counter balance to this thing. And yes, we should have a way that everybody's personal medical information travels with them. And some people have even gone to the extreme of suggesting a small implant under your skin that could be scanned like a barcode. But that's getting a little beyond us here, and that really turns a lot of people off. So, you know, there's all kinds of ways to tackle a problem. But, yes, we need to get to the point where any medical practitioner who is seeing an individual, especially in an emergency situation, immediately has access to that person's medical history so they can know what's going on. What happens if somebody suddenly falls in the street and an ambulance is called and they come and they find this individual unconscious and they don't know what's going on with this individual? It could be life-saving to know instantly, is that person diabetic? Do they have cardiovascular issues? What happened here? So that you can immediately go and treat the problem.
at least there's this one thing called ICE out there for your phone. That's supposed to be at least your emergency number. But I imagine that we could if all come somehow, possibly it would be great, I mean, to agree to some other kind of ICE where there would be a code, and it would get you into a cloud, and your information would be there, so on and so forth. At least
that obviously would be ideal, and I think we're getting there pretty rapidly, maybe faster than we think. And if you can figure out a way, easy access to every individual's medical information instantly, and still maintain their individual privacy, well, that's where we want to be.
Yeah. You know what, Dr. Kaplan, let's at this point, you've shared a lot of thoughts here for people about what the book has in it, but more than that, the realities of, in essence, getting older and what needs to be considered. Let's make this a big part one for our conversation about this issue. And maybe get some feedback from some people on the kinds of questions that they want to ask, and then take it to the next level. You really have a great group of people here involved with this, and there's just a wealth of information on an extremely important subject that both young and old should be aware of, and it's unfortunately not a subject that we are ever taught about. There's no college classes, I don't think, that required how to take care of your parents. There's no college classes on actually how to take care of your children either. So,
That's true.
Two areas of which you're a specialist in. You like the young ones and you like the old ones, huh? What, everybody in the middle?
Actually, the people in the middle are the ones who are literally caught in the middle, because they have to take care of their kids and they also have to take care of their parents, aunts, uncles,
right.
Older friends, etc. So the people in the middle, they're the people who mainly carry the burden.
I understand that.
And as long as there's a lot of love, it works. But let me just leave you with one parting thought, and that is, for God's sake, never be condescending to an older person because they're old. They've been around. They know a lot. They're smart, and they can pick up if somebody's being condescending to them in a second. So be genuine.
Dr. Kaplan, let me ask you two last questions at this moment. We're very involved with the International Day of Peace, September 21st, United Nations Declared Day. I've asked many people, what does peace mean to them? So, Dr. Kaplan, what does peace mean to you?
Peace means to me no war, and to be secure in your environment and to be comfortable.
Beautiful. Last question. We also started a channel for love. What is love for Dr. Kaplan?
Oh, love is the most important thing in the world. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Comes from the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Dr. Kaplan, thank you very much. Always an honor to get to spend some time with you.
Great speaking to you, Paul. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.